Do you want to earn your degree? Would you like to do some studies online? Conservative Theological University can help. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Leave your contact, name, and number for the admissions office to reach out to you. Your first course is free. Conservative Theological University is offering courses of study leading to your certified AA through PhD all online. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're facing an issue today. Who owns the land? And this comes up afresh and anew simply because the mindset is that somehow, some way, Israel needs to be divided, bifurcated, made into 2 states, a Palestinian state and an Israeli Jewish state. And then most recently, when Tucker Carlson interviewed Mike Huckabee, and it came to the forefront as to the consternation that it has caused around the globe, and especially in the Middle East. I'm looking at a headline, U.S. Envoy Mike Huckabee says it would be fine. Listen, headline, Mike Huckabee said it would be fine if Israel took all the Middle East land. And then the article goes on, the U.S. ambassador to Israel, Mike Huckabee, has contended to the podcaster, Tucker Carlson, that Israel has a biblical right to take over the entire Middle East, or at least the lion's share of it. Quote, it would be fine if they took it all. End quote, Huckabee said to Carlson during an interview posted on Friday. The Trump administration appointee and former Arkansas governor discussed with Carlson interpretation of the Old Testament scripture within the U.S. Christian nationalist movement. Carlson, who recently made disputed claims that he was detained at Tel Aviv Airport, Israel, by the way, that's a whole new story. Won't have time to digress from that. But he claimed he got to the Tel Aviv airport in Israel, and they frisked him. They took his passport. They interviewed him, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All found to be an absolute lie built up to get attention to make it seem as though somehow Tucker Carlson was not allowed into Israel. This article goes on. Ask Huckabee, this is talking about Carlson, about a biblical verse in which God promised Abraham and his descendants will receive the land. And it goes on from the Wadi, Egypt, to the great river Euphrates, to the land of the Canaanites and the Kezites and the Hittites and the Pezurites, etc., etc., the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Gergeshites, and the Jebusites, etc. All of those, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, if you've never read, it's found profusely in the Old Testament. It's the land of Canaan, and the enemies were listed there that God told Israel, when you go into the land of Canaan, kill, you hear me, K-I-L-L, all the enemies. Israel didn't. Some of the men decided that the enemy women looked pretty good and started marrying into the families. And in that intermarriage relationship, they then did not carry out what God said they needed to do going into the land, destroy all of the enemy. And as a result of that, ladies and gentlemen, got about 4,000 years now battling with the enemy, Israel has, battling with the enemy because they did not do what God said to do when entering into the promised land. Here's the further, a brief portion. I'll not take time for the whole article. Carlson pointed out that the area in modern geography would include like the entire Middle East, Israel, Jordan, Syria, Lebanon. It'd also be parts of Saudi Arabia and Iraq, Carlson said. Huckabee said, I'm not sure it would go that far, but it would be a big piece of the land. He continued, Israel is the land that God gave through Abraham to a people that he chose. It was a people, a place, and a purpose. Pressed by Carlson on whether Israel has the right to the land, Huckabee said, it would be fine if they took it all. Huckabee goes on, ladies and gentlemen, and says, I'm not meaning they need to go in and do battle now and kill the enemies today and take all of the land that God gave them, but it would be fine if they had all of the land. That was his statement. That was the context of the statement. But now it's being blown out of context, and all of the enemies of Israel are now claiming that it is a fire that's been lit, and it is something that is causing consternation, chaos, confusion, and a concern in all of the Middle East. I believe we have Davis on the line. Davis, go with the question or comment, please.
Yeah, thank you, Dr. Youngwood. That, you know, you just give a perfect example of what happens when we disobey what God has told us to do, just like Israel did, by not destroying all the enemy. I was 12 years old whenever Israel in 48 was recognized as a nation again. And I like to compare this to, says if a man had 100 sheep and one went astray, wouldn't he leave the 99 and go seek the one that was lost? Well, and that was opened up. The Jewish people that were scattered abroad all over the whole world, you might say, began to come back to Israel at that time to regather back into their promised land. And anybody that says that they're not Jewish people because they come from Europe or somewhere, I don't care whether they come from Florida or from Quebec, Canada, they're still Jewish people, and they have a right to that land because God has given it to them.
Amen, amen. I second that motion. I find it a statement or a conclusion of consternation in my mind, because the mindset, the Ashkenazi Jews, as they like to divide them, I say they, some of the liberals, some of the anti-Jewish, saying that we're a Zionist, some of those that are against the nation of Israel, they want to bifurcate it, as you said. But listen, Israel is the only nation in world history that after 2,500 years of being in diaspora, they were separated, they were flung to the four corners of the earth to come back together and to reassimilate and become a nation again. And that's the fulfillment, as you know, I'm sure, Brother Davis, that's the fulfillment of Ezekiel chapter 37, the Valley of Dry Bones. And those dry bones came together, stood up, sinew and flesh were placed on those dry bones, and that was the promise that God had made, that Israel would become a nation, and he brought them back together. That was May 15, 1948, that Ezekiel 37 became reality in the fulfillment. Now, this long period of time since May 15, 1948, we see that gap between the 37th chapter of Ezekiel to what will be in the very near future, and I believe has already progressively started the formulation and the coming to the forefront of Ezekiel 38 and 39, which is called the War with Russia. I have, for the benefit of the listening audience, called it the Third World War that we see in the formulation of today. That's taking place today with Russia coming against Ukraine. That's taking place progressively as we see the encroachment, as we're doing against the nation of Iran, which I believe, in my opinion, we must do. But Iran and Russia are wed together at the hip. We're finding piece by piece by piece the formulation for Russia leading the five nations against the nation of Israel. Israel is the apple of God's eye. Israel is hated of all people around the globe. And the hatred and the animus is born out of a demonic delusion. And that demonic delusion is because Satan hates Israel, because it's out of Israel that Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, came into this world. And it's as a result of that that we see this battle that's fuming, that's taking place, and will not end until Jesus Christ, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, returns and brings peace to this old world, according to the Scripture. So David said, demands our...
Where is that Scripture where it says that God has not ever dealt with any nation like he has with Israel? I mean, that ought to be a little spotlight for us, realizing that that is, like they mentioned, if you wonder what's happening, I believe it was Adrian Rogers said that. Watch
yes.
what's happening to Israel, kind of learn from them. God's dealing with Israel in a special way.
Absolutely. It's the apple of God's eye, and as God deals with Israel, in fact, when you mention that, my mind goes to Zechariah, the 14th chapter in particular, when the Scripture is very, very clear. I'm sorry, the 12th chapter, the Scripture is very, very clear. He says, behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all people around about, when they shall be in the siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem, and in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth shall be gathered together against it. And in that day, is speaking prophetically of the future tense, and we're witnessing it encroaching and coming closer and closer each and every day. But the fact that Israel is the apple of God's eye, the Jewish people are God's people, is clearly stipulated and stated in Ezekiel 38 and 39, where God says, it's my people, it's my land. And if a person just stop and ponder a moment, if it's God's people and if it's God's land, what's any nation doing to fight against God and try to destroy God and God's people and God's land? It's a futile battle. And as you'll see in the 38th, 39th chapter of Ezekiel, that's exactly what God does. He brings about confusion and consternation and chaos so that the enemy is literally battling against itself when they try to come against the nation of Israel. So
he said there'd be wars and rumors of wars, and that's what we're hearing now. We hear the rumble.
We're witnessing the wars and rumors of wars, literally translated wars and rumblings of wars, continual rumbling. And so I don't know about others that's listening. I get excited when I see what's happening, bringing about the fulfillment of the Word of God. It should cause every Christian to be interested, concerned, and challenged and encouraged when we see God's Word leaping off the pages into the current news and the Marxist media that's bringing about the news. So, David, it deserves our prayer that we keep looking up, saying, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus.
Amen and amen.
Thank you so much for your calling. God bless you. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Who owns the land? Is the land owned by Israel or not? Is it a land that they're just, how would you say, encroaching on that doesn't belong to them? The question was asked by Carlson in the meeting with Huckabee, to Huckabee about the biblical account of the land of Israel as to the amount of land and from where does it go and what's its borders. And Huckabee simply gave the geographical dimensions that was given in the Bible and God's promise to the Jewish people. Now, Mike Huckabee wasn't saying, Israel, I want you to go out and put on armament, get your jets ready, and go out and take the land, the promised land, the land of Canaan that God had given you. But ladies and gentlemen, in Genesis 15:18, in the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thee, unto thy seed, have I given this land from the river Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Also, ladies and gentlemen, in the 17th chapter of Genesis, let me read a few verses 1 and following. And when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared unto Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me, and be thou mature or perfect. And I will make thy covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. Verse 4, and as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thou shalt be called Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee, and I will make thee exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed, and thee and their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and thy seed hereafter. And I will give unto thee, and unto thy, listen, I will give unto thee, and unto thy seed after thee, the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Now I want to ask you a couple of questions, ladies and gentlemen. Where is the land of Canaan? Is it just that little postage stamp that Israel now possesses? And what does it mean? God says, I'm going to give it to you for an everlasting possession. Does that mean for 50 years, 70 years, 100 years? What time frame is it? And ladies and gentlemen, even better than that, what is the geographical boundaries of the land of Canaan that God promised to give? Reiterated, ladies and gentlemen, in Deuteronomy, the 40th chapter. Reiterated again in Joshua chapter 1 and following. Chapter 1, verse 1 and following. The scripture says in verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, and with all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Listen, verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have, past tense, I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, and referring back to Deuteronomy, the 11th chapter and the 24th verse, referring back to Genesis 13, 15, referring back to Genesis 15, 18, and gives the geographical boundaries in the first, fourth verse, ladies and gentlemen, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. And then it follows up. There shall be no man able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. Ladies and gentlemen, over and over again, we see God's covenant with Abraham. It was not a bilateral covenant. It was not a trilateral covenant. It was not a covenant that said, Abraham, if you do this, I'll do that. It was a unilateral covenant where God himself said, I'm going to give you the land. So when there's the debate, when there's the discussion, when there's a question, when there's a challenge about who owns the land, for me, I am satisfied that the Bible settles once and for all that debate, that dialogue, that covenant question about the ownership of the land. Ladies and gentlemen, Israel has never possessed, I'll say this definitively, dogmatically, and will validate it through the biblical text itself. Israel has never possessed all the land that God gave them that Israel literally owns. And when the Valley of Dry Bones came about, Ezekiel chapter 37, those dry bones stood up. God returned Israel back to the promised land. We call it the Holy Land, the land of Canaan. It is God's land. It is God's people that's there. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. I'm reading from a lengthy article that I'll just pluck out portions of it to solidify what I have said and to underpin what I have stated. What is the land that God promised to Israel? There's probably no more disputed real estate on the face of the earth, this writer says, than the land of Israel. Even calling it Israel will raise objections from some quarters. The Jewish people lay claim to the land because they first held possession of it millennia ago, and because God directly gave them the land and recorded as recorded in the Bible. And it goes on to recite much of what I've recited today. In Genesis 12:7, God promised Abraham just to arrive in Canaan. And your offsprings, he said, I'm going to give the land. Genesis 15:18, God expands that unconditional promise to Abraham. Genesis 17:8, God reiterates that promise to Abraham. Ladies and gentlemen, he says, it is an everlasting possession. That's where I land. That's where I stand. That's where I want to reiterate for you. it's not a matter of a debate between Tucker Carlson wanting to make headlines. It's not a matter of Carlson's belief or Carlson's statement or the twisted, perverted way in which he quotes Mike Huckabee. Mike Huckabee as a Christian, Mike Huckabee as a central Biblicist, Mike Huckabee that loves the Lord and knows the Word and has preached the Word as a pastor in a church. Mike Huckabee took the stand, made the statement based on what the Bible says, and Tucker Carlson snatches that statement out of context and tries to make it sound something that it's not. This writer goes on to say, in the Abrahamic covenant, then God laid out the extent of the land that would belong to the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This, listen now what this writer says. It's a territory including all of Canaan, stretching from Egypt to modern-day Iraq. Several centuries later, when it came time for the Israelites actually to possess the promised land, God again spoke to the vast area from the Negev wilderness into the south to the Lebanese mountains in the north, from the Euphrates River in the east to the Mediterranean Sea in the west, including all the land of the Hittites, Joshua chapter 1, verse 4 that I read a moment ago. The promise of the land belonging to the children of Israel is, listen, this writer says, the promise belonging to the land belonging to the children of Israel is a permanent possession. Keep that in mind. It's a permanent possession. Notwithstanding the fact that Israel didn't go in and possess all the land God gave them, notwithstanding the fact that down through the centuries Israel has given up land and given up land in order to have peace, notwithstanding the fact that there are those that will claim that Israelites, the Jewish people, are simply there as squatters on the land, notwithstanding the fact that the ones that are called the Palestinians, they want to claim, lay claim to them. The apple of God's eye for a lasting covenant, an everlasting, that's permanent, ladies and gentlemen. Even at times when the Israelis, the Jewish people, were expelled from their land, and that happened, ladies and gentlemen, twice in history, God promised they would return. Even if you have been banished from most of the distant lands unto the heavens, and from the Lord says he'll gather you together and bring you back. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, that's a paraphrase of Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter, verses 4 and 5. And this promise was part of what took place in what is called the covenant for the land that's given to the nation of Israel. And this writer says, and I quote, "In foretelling the removal of Israel from its land, the Palestinian covenant anticipated the Babylonian captivity, 586 B.C., and the Roman destruction of Jerusalem, A.D. 70. In both cases, the promise to the covenant held true. The Jewish people regained their land and their nation, 537 B.C., again at 1948. Israel is still in their land, despite the fact that their conquerors, the Babylonians, the Romans, are of long ago, all of the reinforces the promise made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that God would establish Israel in their land as his chosen people, Deuteronomy 29 and verse 13. Ladies and gentlemen, you can't beat the Word of God. It has laid out the geographical boundaries. In fact, most of what's called that portion of the Middle East today is truly based on the biblical record, the everlasting title deed to the nation of Israel. And listen very carefully, ladies and gentlemen, one day when the Lord Jesus Christ returns and he slays the enemies of God, the enemies of Christ, the enemies of the church, the enemies of the Christian, the enemies of the Jewish people, according to Revelation 19, verse 17 through 21, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to slay the enemies with the sword of his mouth. He's going to set up his kingdom, which will be for 1,000 years. Jesus Christ will rule and reign out of the new rebuilt temple, according to Ezekiel chapter 40, 41, 42 through verse chapter 46. The rebuilt temple, Jesus Christ will be seated on his throne and will rule and reign. And listen very carefully, all of this territory that we're talking about today will be that which Jesus Christ rules over, and there will be peace and prosperity and plenty. The Jewish people, those that have said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, shall be in that land of promise that Jesus Christ is rule as Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This particular writer says God has given his word that the nation of Israel will never, and I underlined in the article, never cease as long as the sun shall shine by day and the moon and the stars shall shine by night. Jeremiah 31, verse 35 through 37. Ladies and gentlemen, makes no difference about the argument between what the Marxist media has to say and what Tucker Carlson has to say and what Mike Huckabee has to say. Mike Huckabee is absolutely right, ladies and gentlemen. I'm looking at an article talking about the Promised Land map. The Promised Land map. And I'm going to read you two or three excerpts because it sets the case very clearly in our closing remarks today. The Promised Land map. And this writer says a quick summary. The Promised Land map traces the geographical inheritance promised to Abraham in Genesis 15, described again in Numbers 34, distributed to the 12 tribes of Israel in the book of Joshua, spanning from the river of Egypt to the Euphrates. In its broadest definition, the Promised Land includes present. Listen, the Promised Land, according to this writer, and I believe he's right, it includes the present-day Israel, Palestine, Jordan, parts of Syria, Lebanon, all of Egypt. This post includes a map of its historical boundaries and the references that's the allocation of the land to the nation of Israel. This writer says, where is the Promised Land in the Bible? The Promised Land today refers to the territory God promised Abraham and his descendants. This land was often described using landmarks rather than exact boundaries in Genesis 15, 18 through 21. For the descendants, I give thee the land from Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates. The same promise is echoed again, ladies and gentlemen. This writer says in Exodus 23, 21, or 31, and later detailed in Numbers chapter 34. Boundaries include the territories east and west of the Jordan River to the Mediterranean coast and the key ancient cities. And this, listen, he gives the boundaries, he gives the location, he gives where it is found today. For example, he says here the boundaries, southern border from the wilderness of Zin, according to Edom in the Salt Sea, western boundaries, the great Mediterranean Sea, the northern boundaries from the Great Sea to Mount Hora, then to Zedad, eastern boundaries from Hermas to the Safan and down to the Jordan. Goes further. Israel and the Palestinian territory, parts of Jordan and all of Lebanon, sections of Syria, the northern eastern edge of Egypt. Ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. Suffice it to say, as I have said for many, many years, the nation of Israel possesses today a postage stamp of the total land that God promised and a covenant promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Abraham and all of his seed. It was a unilateral promise. God didn't say, I will do it if you'll do that. It was a covenant promise from God that God's going to give the apple of his eye, the people, Jewish people, the land that we call Canaan land, the land that we call the Holy Land. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm delighted that you joined us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-